Hi, my name is Reuben Porter. I'm the lead pastor here at Crossroads Church, and it's great to have you on our podcast today. We hope this message encourages you, builds you up in your faith, and ultimately brings you closer to Jesus. Enjoy.
Great. Good evening, church. How are we? Good. Good. Hey, I was so encouraged. I hope you were by just singing that song. We haven't sung it in a while. God is in this house. It said something along the lines of, you know, God is in this house. Anything could happen now. Isn't that an exciting thought? That we're in the presence of God. And when we're in the presence of God, anything could happen because he's got full power, all authority. And when we're in the presence of God, fear doesn't survive, right? Listen to the bridge. Let fear give way to freedom. Hurt give way to healing. We're standing on holy ground. Scripture says that when we gather as believers, two or three of us, that he is here with us. That makes this holy ground. Isn't that exciting? Isn't that cool to think about, that anything could happen in his presence? Do you believe that? Come on, wake up this evening, guys. We're going to need a bit more. Hey, awesome to be here. Awesome to be here. If you don't know me, my name is Jake. I am the young adults pastor here at Crossroads. So a real privilege for me tonight to get to share an encouragement from the Word and really wrap up our summer night series. We've been keeping a little bit chill and being a little bit different from our morning services over the last 4 weeks as we've kicked off 2025. And we've just been looking at some real heart messages from some of our pastors. And so real excited to finish up that series tonight. And I want to do that out of the book of Joshua. We're going to read right from the start of the book, Joshua chapter 1. So I wonder if you've got your Bible, why don't you grab that out and head there now. Joshua chapter 1, I'm going to read out of the NLT version. And the book of Joshua, right, this is a book of kind of transition. It's a time of transition where the Israelite nation, are moving from having Moses as their leader. He's just passed on. And now Joshua is taking kind of his place. He's taking the mantle of the leadership of Israel. And he is going to lead them from, again, in kind of a period of transition, he's going to lead them from their wilderness place where they've been for 40 years. They came out of a place of slavery in Egypt, but then kind of landed in this wilderness place where God looked after them and God provided for them, but it wasn't where they were going to stay. And then Joshua is going to move them on and walk them across the Jordan River and into the promised land that God had given to them. And so that's really where we are opening up tonight, and we're going to teach from there. So why don't we take a look at that? This is what it says. It says, after the death of Moses, the Lord's servant, the Lord spoke to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant. He said, Moses, my servant, is dead. Therefore, the time has come for you to lead these people, the Israelites, across the Jordan River into the land I am giving them. I promise you what I promised Moses. Wherever you set foot, you will be on land I have given you. From the Negev wilderness in the south to the Lebanon mountains in the north, from the Euphrates River in the east to the Mediterranean Sea in the west, including all the land of the Hittites, no one will be able to stand against you as long as you live. For I will be with you as I was with Moses. I will not fail you or abandon you. So be strong and courageous, for you are the one who will lead these people to possess all the land I swore to their ancestors I would give them. Be strong and very courageous, and be careful to obey all the instructions Moses gave you. Do not deviate from them, turning either to the right or to the left. Then you will be successful in everything you do. And study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night, so you'll be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. This is my command. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And Joshua then commanded the officers of Israel, go through the camp and tell the people to get their provisions ready, because in 3 days you will cross the Jordan River and take possession of the land the Lord your God is giving you. I just want to repeat that last little bit from verse 10, because that's where we're going to get our word from this evening. It says, Joshua then commanded the officers of Israel, go through the camp and tell the people to get their provisions ready, because in 3 days you will cross the Jordan and take possession of the land the Lord your God is giving you. I want to preach tonight under the title, Get Ready to Move. Why don't you do what you all hate doing and turn to your neighbor and say, get ready to move. Now turn to your other neighbor and say, get ready to move. You know, there are some times of transition in all of our lives, times of change. We all face it. A Greek philosopher by the name of Heraclitus once said, I didn't fact check if that's how you say it, once said that the only constant in life is change. You think about the last 10 years of your life, think about all the things that have changed within that time. You might have had relationships start and end. There might have been new people come into your family. You might have welcomed kids of your own. You might have welcomed nieces and nephews. Your job might have changed. You might have even moved city to come and study. We all undergo moments of transition. And so what I want to do tonight is kind of use this passage and talk about what it looks like to do that well. What it looks like to move from one thing and then on to the next. Maybe like the Israelites, you know, you feel as though you've been in a bit of a wilderness moment where they're coming out of. You know, things have felt dry for a little bit and you want to cling to the promises of God that there is better ahead. Or maybe, you know, you're just transitioning from one good thing to another good thing, one stage of life to another. But I want to teach on this, and I want to teach that we ought to be ready to move, because change is coming. We can't change that. But we can do our best to be ready to move. When I was younger, my passion was riding and training horses. My granddad really kind of started this in me. He came from a family of seven kids. He had there were five sons and two daughters in his family, came from the west coast of the South Island, and all five of the sons of that family became really successful horse racing jockeys. And they were really, really successful at what they did. My granddad, he traveled overseas and did that for a career. When my granddad retired, he then went on and he bought a riding school, and that was sort of his kind of retirement career. And that riding school taught young kids how to ride horses, which was really cool. And so riding horses, very much in the family blood, and I took that on, and I was around the riding school a lot. But the reason I want to kind of bring this up and take us there, because when I was around the riding school as a young kid, There was one paddock that was completely out of bounds. You could not go there, right? And there was kind of like an aura around this paddock, right? You just definitely couldn't go there. In fact, if you went in there, then kind of you came out a hero in the estimations of everybody else, right? And so you kind of wanted to get to the status of going into the stallion's paddock. I've just dropped the line. It was the stallion's paddock, right? And so the stallion's paddock had this aura around it, and you wanted to kind of have the responsibility of being able to go in there. So Stallion's paddock. Here's why. We all know what a stallion is, right? A stallion, I'm going to explain it to you anyway, carefully. A stallion is a male horse, but like fully male. Does that make sense? So he's still all male, which is good. And a stallion is a little bit different, because you think about it, right? It's kind of like dogs. Most male horses, most male dogs, we kind of get rid of that sort of stuff when they are born, in order to make life a little bit easier, right? There's two reasons really why you might geld a stallion. That is, one, for just management reasons, right? We don't want the stallion jumping in with the mares, getting them all pregnant. And two, there's another reason, really, because their temperament changes when they're a stallion, right? When they grow up, they've still got all their hormones, and they grow up to be really strong. They get a lot more muscle. They get quite stroppy. They can be quite volatile. Sometimes they can be a bit aggressive, a little bit erratic. And you never really know what's going to happen with a stallion. And so you got to be very careful around a stallion. And so this is why this paddock was completely out of bounds. For kids, young kids at a riding school, you couldn't go near the stallion's paddock. But here's the thing, right? I started to grow up. And of course, some people have to go in the stallion's paddock. The horse has to be fed. His hooves have to be trimmed. Sometimes the vet has to go in there. Sometimes you're putting a mare in there. And I was starting to grow up and, you know, a little bit ego-driven as a young guy is. And so I desperately wanted to be the one in charge of looking after the stallion, right? Just gives you a little bit of street credit around the place. And so I asked the coach, the head coach, hey, could I be the one that looks after the stallion this year? And they said, yes, sure. But this is a high responsibility, right? This is a high responsibility. And this is where we're really getting to the point. And they said, listen, this horse, he can do anything at any moment. He is completely unpredictable. He is not like the other horses on the farm. He could start jumping fences. He could kind of get aggressive. And so you have to be very, very careful and you have to be prepared. And so when I was being trained to look after the stallion, I was given kind of three tags that helped us before I went into the paddock. And I kind of want to anchor the message around that this evening. And so I'm going to give you all 3 points right out the gate on what we have to do to be ready to move when we were in the stallion's paddock. And they are this. To be ready to move, we need to consider this. What's holding me back? What's moving me forward? And what's got my attention? So number one, what's holding me back? What's moving me forward? And what's got my attention? So what's holding me back? Should I need to move quickly to safety out of the paddock? What would be holding me back from doing that? Am I attached to anything? Or is there any extra a weight attached to me that would slow me down and getting out of there? Is there anything in my surroundings that could trip me up or put me in danger? And then what's moving me forward? This was my preparation ahead of time, right? That would give me the appropriate tools to move quickly. Was I wearing good, safe footwear? If the horse were to move and step on my toes, were they safe? Was I wearing clothing and footwear that wouldn't get caught in things and allow me to be free moving to get out of there? And finally, that last handle, kind of what's got my attention? When I was in with the stallion, it was incredibly important that my attention was focused on the task at hand. Because when we are distracted, we're not ready to move, right? There's a delay there. And so when something happens quickly, we're not ready for it. So I couldn't be on my phone or looking around. The stallion and the job at hand was where my attention had to be. And so what's holding me back? What's moving me forward? And what's got my attention? What I want to do tonight is sort of intertwine those basic principles that I learned for getting ready to move with the story that we've just read in Joshua chapter 1, where Joshua was leading the Israelites to the promised land. And hopefully we're going to be able to put some handles on this as we all face times of transition and change in our lives. So does that sound good? Does that sound good? Come on. I'm glad, right? You know, in our passage, the Israelites were 3 days out from finally moving to go and take a victory that they'd waited 40 years for. That's a long time. Between Moses leading them out of their slavery in Egypt and Joshua leading them across the Jordan to take the promised land, there were 40 long years. 40 years in the desert and wilderness, waiting on a promise of God. This was a tough season for the nation of Israel. As I said earlier, God was still faithful in this time. They always had food to eat and water to drink, but it was tough because they were waiting on a promise that hadn't come yet. Maybe some of you have been in this place where you just believe that God has better for you. You believe that he has better for your family, or maybe there's a dream you felt was deposited on your heart by God, but you're still waiting for the door to open for that to come to pass. No doubt you've seen God's faithful hand on lots of details as you've been in this time of waiting, but it's still just a tough place to be, isn't it? And I can't speak to each of your situations like Joshua was able to in our passage. I don't know the specifics of your waiting season, and I can't tell you that in 3 days' time you will receive the promise like the Israelites did. But I do believe that the Lord has deposited something to preach tonight on my heart. That if that's you, if you're in that waiting place, then the instruction would be to get ready to move. I want to reassure you tonight of some hope that if the Lord gave the promise, if it aligns with his word, and if he really was the one that spoke it, then his promises always come to pass. And so the word is, get your provisions ready, get ready to move, get ready to live in the promise, because his promises do not fail. Amen. And so what does it look like to get ready to move? I want to go that to that first handle, which is what's holding you back. What's holding you back? On the way to the fulfillment of the promise, or even as life just carries on with its inevitable times of change, is there anything that could hold you back from stepping into whatever comes next with courage and conviction? Joshua was told to be strong and courageous in what lay ahead of him. I wonder, is there anything that would rob you of courage or limit your effectiveness in the task ahead of you? Perhaps it's been spoken over you that you're going to be a great leader, but you haven't been given an official position of leadership yet. I wonder, now would be the time that you're considering, what is it in your life that could hinder you or hold you back from stepping into being a great leader? You know, God is careful to prepare people. If we look at King David in the Old Testament and the time between God's anointing of him to be a king on his life and him actually becoming the king, I believe it was nearly 15 years, right, that he waited for that promise to be fulfilled. But in that time, God was constantly preparing him. Part of that would have been learning new skills, new habits, ways of thinking, maturing. But if his experience is anything like mine has been, you know, there would have also been things in this time that he had to unlearn, things he needed to shake off, take out of his routine that would hinder his effectiveness as a king and as a leader, right? And I wonder, some of us might need to learn that waiting doesn't mean we're standing still. Waiting is a time of preparation, of refining. Maybe it's time you ask the Lord, God, what is it that you would have me cut out, eliminate, that might get in the way, that might hold me back from fulfilling what you've asked of me? And I don't believe there's any prerequisite there. You might have something really specific that you feel God is leading you into next, or you might just know that you're called to be a strong man or woman of God. It doesn't matter. We can be asking the Lord, what are the things in my life that are going to hold me back from serving you wholeheartedly and fully effectively? And so to get kind of some sort of a grip on this, I thought of some examples that might help us kind of as we get our heads around this first handle tonight. I wonder for maybe some of us, especially us young adults, maybe it's our friends, you know, the people around us. They're not people that spur you on in faith. They're more kind of the people that would try to have you drink that next drink. I believe really strongly that we need to be honest with ourselves about who is influencing who in our relationships. Because I think sometimes as Christians, we don't want to set ourselves apart from people like that and look all high and mighty. So we try and tell ourselves that we'll be strong enough to withstand the temptation that those friendships create. We'll be a positive influence, we think. But is it time to be honest maybe and say, actually, I'm not strong enough, at least not now. I can't be hanging out with them in the places that they hang out with, doing the things that they do while maintaining my integrity of faith. And so maybe do I need to look to change who I hang out with? Not to reject them as a person, not to say that the gospel doesn't apply to them, but really just for my journey and what God is leading me into, I'm not strong enough to handle that temptation right now. Perhaps it's certain habits that are holding you back. I think sometimes we believe a lie that the promise will fix the problem. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, once I'm in the position of leadership, I'll have to uphold a higher standard. And so the temptation to slag people off and talk people down will be easier to withstand. Or perhaps, like, once I'm in a committed relationship, I won't need to turn to pornography anymore. I won't have to fill that void. Or when I have a family, I'll tone down my ways of living. We think that the promise will somehow fix the problem. But I believe that that's a lie, right? Because a vice set up now will only grow stronger over us as our influence grows. And so don't wait for the situation to change before we change our behavior, right? It won't be easier in the promised place. You might just be ill-equipped to deal with the promised place when you get there. And so now would be the time to hack out what will hold you back in the promised place? I wonder if another thing that could hold us back potentially is unhelpful thinking patterns. You know, waiting places, they're hard places. We've talked about that. And it makes it easy to allow unhelpful thoughts and thinking bitterness and anger, jealousy into our waiting season. I think jealousy, that's a big one. How come he got the position? How come she got so easily what I've prayed so hard for? And I found that the unhelpful thoughts, usually they start as a coping mechanism that we've leant on in our waiting. But if waiting is preparation, these things need to start to go. God is so much better for you than a coping mechanism of this world. And it might be time to engage a counselor, a professional. It might be time to sign up for the mentorship or get in a connect group that can hold you accountable to move past some of these things and remove what's holding you back. The final example I've got here for things that might hold us back is something I've just labeled expired blessings. You know, God is a giver of good things. He gives good things to us, even in our dry places. You know, during the time that the Israelites were in their wilderness in the desert, they were provided for with manna. It was literally food that came down from heaven to provide for them. But this manna, it was never the end goal. God did not continue to send them manna when they moved on to the fertile soil on the other side of the river. He told them, you know, preserve some manna so that you don't forget how good I was for you in the wilderness. But in your next chapter, manna will not be the appropriate way for me to provide for you. It was a blessing for a time and a place. So I wonder, are there some old things that you're holding on to as God looks to move you into a new place? Maybe they're not bad. They're just not for now. Is something that once moved you forward now going to hold you back in the next season? Luke 5:37 says, no one puts new wine into old wineskins, or else the new wine will burst the wineskins and be spilled and the wineskins will be ruined. But new wine must be put into new wineskins. Saying that just because something was good for a time doesn't mean it belongs in the now. You know, my parents have just moved houses and this time around they are downsizing. And that means that when they brought all of their things to the new house, there simply just wasn't the space for it, right? And so they've had to go through and take a bit of a stock take and decide what is it that we will keep and move into this new house? And what is it that has had its time that we don't need in this new place? Maybe tonight, it's just a reminder that we've got to take a stock take with the Lord. Say, Lord, what is relevant right now? And what isn't anymore? What needs to go in this new season? I think of that Marie Kondo, is that her name? That you know who I'm talking about? She sort of spoke quite softly and suggested that we got rid of everything that didn't give us joy. I wonder, can I suggest that we go a little Marie Kondo on the things that are holding us back from the places that God might want to take us? What's holding us back as we look forward to what comes? They need to go. The next handle that I want us to take hold of today is this. It's what's moving you forward. In that stallion paddock, I needed to wear the right clothing that would allow me to move quickly into safety. Safe pair of shoes, clothing I could run in and not trip up in. In the same way, I believe we need to begin to prepare the correct equipment required for the new things that God might have for us. Our scripture says that Joshua commanded his officers to go through the camp and tell the people to get their provisions ready. They had a battle ahead of them. They had to go and take hold of the thing that God had given to them. There was still work to be done, which meant that they had to use their next 3 days to get their provisions ready, to sort out what they would need to take with them so that as soon as they saw the priests with the ark walk past them and moving, that they would have everything in place to be ready to follow and over into the promised land. You know, the thing about kind of seasons of our life, honestly, just the thing about life is that all of a sudden the season changes and it matters what we've done in the previous season to prepare for the one that we're suddenly in. My work before here was as a farmer, and something that we can be sure about in farming is that summer will come around every single year. During summer, the grass will dry out and the food on the ground will become more scarce. But we don't simply wait for summer to come before worrying about what we'll feed to our livestock, right? We prepare in other seasons. We store in barns so that when summer arrives, we have the correct provisions in place. Proverbs 24:27 says, "Do your planning and prepare your fields before building your house." In other words, prepare your land well so that when it comes time to build, you will have a solid foundation to start your work on. Nobody brags about the foundation of a house. Nobody even mentions the foundation of the house when you give them the tour, right? But it doesn't matter how flash the house is. If it's built on the sand and if the land hasn't been prepared properly, it'll fall down like any other house. But we have to prepare the land, prepare the foundations. And some of you might be ready to move into a promise, but first you need to prepare the land. You need to get your provisions ready. It's important that the work is put in now so that when the day comes for you to move, you have the correct provisions to support you in that place. I resonate with this in my own journey. I remember distinctly the time at which God was asking me to be baptized. At the time, I was preparing to run a marathon, and I'd been spending a lot of time and a lot of money preparing myself for race day. I'd gone out and bought the best shoes. I'd gone down to the shoe clinic, had my feet tested to see what the best ones would be, splashed out. I'd researched the kind of things I would need to take with me to race day. But coinciding with this, this time was a moment of kind of frustration in my faith journey. I'd grown frustrated that I didn't feel like I was moving forward. I was stuck in place. The breakthroughs I'd been hoping for were not taking place. But the word that God gave me in the moment was to put on the uniform. To put on the uniform. He said, just like you're preparing for this race and researching what you will need, I need you to do that for the race that I am asking you to run. And it's time that you get the right equipment for what I'm going to be asking of you. And when I heard this word from God on this day, I realized that I'd been delaying my baptism, something that is part of the uniform of our faith. And God said, I want you to put that part of the armor on. I'm preparing you for a greater work, and I want you to be prepared for it. And there is a race set out for each of us, and I wonder what the preparations are that you need to be putting in place for the season ahead, for what God has ahead of you. You know, there are some preparations that I think are universal that we should just all uptake. Things like getting in the word. The scripture that we read tonight says that we're to meditate on it day and night. Other universal preparations would be spending time in his presence, calling on the Holy Spirit, stewarding our finances well so that we are ready to mobilize. But there will be other preparations that are more specific to the place he might move you into. And so I encourage you, take the question to him. How can I be preparing for what you have for me? Is there an area of my knowledge and understanding that you would like me to deepen? Is there a person that you want me to walk alongside that will help me to prepare? Is there somebody else that I could invest into that would take up the mantle of the place that I'll be coming out of? Seasons, you know, they start and they also come to an end. And I want to be sure that I'm prepared and agile, that when the Lord says move, that when I see the priests come past with the ark, and that I am ready to move, that I have what I need to walk into my next season boldly, knowing that I've allowed God to prepare me well for what lies ahead. You know, some of you might be looking for a spouse. Just because you haven't found them yet doesn't mean you can't ask God to prepare you into the best husband or wife you could possibly be. Some of you believe that there's a gifting on your life, but you haven't been given a place to use that in yet. Ask God to use this time to develop that gift so you'll be ready to move when it comes up. Others, there's been a miracle you've been waiting on, and it might sound scary, but maybe there's a provision that you could make for living on the other side of that miracle. Will you step out in faith and expectancy? I believe that God won't laugh at you for doing so. He won't heap shame on you if you do that. Because rather, scripture says that he moves and responds to our faith. And so we can get ready to move, begin to prepare for living in the promise that God has placed. Scripture refers to Christ's followers, us as Christians, as sojourners. It's an old-fashioned word for a temporary resident, someone who will only be staying in a place temporarily, right? And what it's saying is that as Christians, our true home is in heaven with Jesus. And so on this earth, we are temporary residents. But I believe we ought to live as sojourners in the promises of God as well, that we would not tie ourselves down so securely to the comforts of one season, but we would be agile and ready to move when the voice of God speaks. And so I wonder, are you wearing what you need to be wearing to be ready to move? Are you developing the right habits, talking to the right people, asking the right questions? Are you living in a way that is worthy of a greater position than the one you currently have? So that when the voice of God speaks, when the door opens, when the opportunity arises, you're ready to move. You're ready to grab onto it with both hands, having done the proper preparation and having laid solid foundations. The final handle of my message, as we bring this into land, is what's got your attention. Whenever I was in that paddock with the stallion, the job that I was there to do was the only thing that could have my attention. I needed to have that locked in, laser focused. And I needed to know exactly where I could run to. I needed to have my exit strategy locked in. I'd need to be without distraction. And I think here's the thing about waiting on a promise with God is that time and time again in our waiting, we grow restless and we lose our focus. We lose heart and we lose vision. And so what do? We start to look around, don't we? We start to wonder, is there a quicker alternative to the promises of God? The most obvious example for this in scripture for me is Abraham and Sarah. They were promised by God that they would become the parents of many nations, but they were old and they hadn't even been able to conceive one child, let alone see the fruits of many nations. And so what happened? They started to look around. They tried out different options. Abraham slept with his wife's servant to try and hurry along the process, but that wasn't what God had promised. And their attention was lost. It also happened with the Israelites in their wilderness while they were waiting for the promised land. They got tired of it and they began to bow down to false idols. And in both of these scriptural examples, all these actions did was actually delay the true promise that God had given them. And so knowing this, God knew that Joshua would need to be reminded about the importance of his attention in our scripture today. And if you remember, he said this, he said, be careful to obey all the instructions Moses gave you. He said, do not deviate from them, turning either to the right or to the left, and then you will be successful in everything you do. See, God knew that our attention can get sidetracked in our waiting, and he gave them the warning that when we look to the right or to the left, all we find is counterfeit victory. False idols and promises without foundations. But if we fix our eyes ahead, we'll find the fullness of what he has for us. And I think it's really important that this is the point that we land on tonight. Because we've talked a lot about moving on the plans of God and receiving his promises. But I want to be sure that we understand that the promises themselves are not what we give our undivided attention. The God that gave the promise is the only one who deserves our focus, right? I think things get messy when the promise gets elevated above the name that spoke it. Because here's what we'll find if we allow for that to happen. We'll find ourselves walking into discontentment and disappointment. We'll grow tired of waiting and we'll try and fulfill that promise with counterfeits. And so we are not running after a job. We are not running after greater influence. We are not running after a better living situation. But the only thing that we are running after is our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And when we run after him, he takes us where we need to be. You know, Moses, he'd understood this by the end of his life. When he was talking about walking into the promised land, he said this, if you don't personally go with us, Lord, then don't make us leave this place. And so even in the desert, even in those 40 years of waiting in that hard place, he'd come to realize that if the Lord doesn't go with me, it's not a place I want to be. I think that ought to be our attitude. His presence with us above anything that he could possibly do for us or even through us. Because if you're not there, Lord, I don't want to go. Come on, amen. If you're not there, Lord, I don't want to go. I want to invite the band up. What has your attention? Is it the promise or is it the promise keeper? The word of God is packed full of promises for those who choose to follow Christ. It says that when we follow him, we will receive a feeling of love, of joy, of peace, that we will have the power and authority of a God who overcame death, hell, and the grave living on the inside of us. But our attention should stay fixed on the promise giver, not the promise itself. When it happens the other way around, I think the wheels begin to fall off. And this is so important because I just believe, and I'm sure that there will be people here who have been waiting for a while now. It hasn't been 40 years, but it certainly felt like it. I want you to remember that the promise keeper is so much greater than the promise. Keep your eyes firmly fixed on him. Keep planting your steps directly behind his because he will take you where you need to go in the timing he needs to take you in. Don't deviate from his path, turning to the left or to the right, looking elsewhere. His power is great and his timing is perfect. There is a reason that the Lord had to tell Joshua to be strong and courageous more than once in this passage. I believe it's because our faithfulness is tested in our waiting. But the Lord said, renew your faith today, Joshua. Don't let your faith diminish because in just 3 days, I'll walk you across that river and into the promise. And when you do it with me, when you do it my way, it'll be better than any counterfeit that the world could ever offer. And I believe the same goes for the thing that you might be waiting on. Be strong and very courageous. Don't lose your faith in the waiting. Your peace and your joy is not in the fulfillment of that promise. It's in the presence of the promise keeper. And so keep in close step behind him and put your trust in his timing. I want to bring this into landing now. And to do so, there's just a few verses in Hebrews 12 that we're going to put up on the screen that I just believe perfectly summarize what we've kind of been talking about tonight. They say this, they say, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. That's the things that will hold us back. Let's throw them off because they're hindering. And then let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. I believe that perseverance is produced in preparation. It's what moves us forward. And then it says, do so fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And consider him who enjoyed such opposition from sinners so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. And that's where I want to leave it today. Life is full of change. It's inevitable. But our job is to be ready to move towards him so that he can lead us into his perfect and beautiful plans that he has for us. And so let's consider what might hold us back. What's going to move us forward and what has our attention? Is our attention on him? As I close, there are just a few people on my heart that I just want to pray for tonight before we head into worship. Firstly, I believe there might be people here who have been in that dry place for a while now. I want you to understand the hope that you have available to you. I can't tell you when the thing that you've been waiting on God for will correct itself or when God will choose to move that mountain, but I do know that he will do so in his perfect timing and in his perfect will. He hasn't forgotten you, he hasn't rejected you, and he certainly won't leave you in this. But I want to pray hope for you. Secondly, I believe that there are some people here that desire change, but you're not sure if it's a change that God is asking of you, if he's directing you into that. You're unsure about your next steps. Maybe it's a job, maybe it's a family decision, something to do with study. There's a scripture that says that the Lord directs the steps of the godly. He delights in every detail of their lives. And so I want to pray for you in your pursuit of doing God's will in your life. And finally, just one last person. I believe that there might be some people who are excited about the future, but the Lord has been speaking to you about some things that maybe just need to be cut out, that need to be dropped so they don't entangle you, that you need to start to address some things to get ready to move. Maybe it is those friend groups or habits. There's some old blessings that you're hanging on to that don't fit anymore. But it's going to take some strength and some courage to sort of start to address those convictions. I'd love to pray for that person as well. So just right now in this moment, I wonder if everybody could just bow their heads and close their eyes. And just so I know who I'm praying for, if you just want to put your hand up, if any of those are you and you would like prayer for that as you look to move into a new season, would you just raise your hand right where you are? Cool, you can put those down. Lord, I thank you that we can come to you in prayer. Lord, I thank you that prayer is powerful. Lord, I thank you that prayer changes things. Lord, that when we believe in faith, that you move on that faith. Lord, right now, I just want to pray for those people that have felt like they're in a bit of a wilderness, like they've been waiting on something to change for quite a while. Lord, we've been talking about preparation tonight and preparing when we're in the waiting, but I just get the real sense that maybe for some people it's like I feel as prepared as I'll ever be, Lord. So when's it going to happen? When am I going to move into this new place? Lord, for that person, I just want to pray right now that through your Holy Spirit that you would just give a fresh dose of just hope and courage, that they would walk in strength and courage, knowing that you, the promise keeper, are faithful to your word, but you're willing to give them peace and joy and fullness of life in the moment that they are in right now. And so, Lord, I just pray for protection around that person. Lord, I just pray that you would uplift them, that they would have something to walk forward in every day, that you would give them purpose in their waiting, Lord, and courage to continue to believe your word, to continue to open up your scriptures each day and renew their faith in the promises that you offer us, Lord. Lord, would this not be the thing that deters them, but Lord, that you would just give them that fresh courage and that fresh faith today. I pray for that person. And the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray for those people that are looking to move into a new season at the moment. Lord, they're just excited that, there's just a new opportunity coming up. And Lord, I just want to pray for them. And around that, we thank you that you are a God that directs the steps of the godly. Lord, I just pray for them now and their decision-making, and I pray that you would surround them right now, Lord, that you would give them clarity of thought. Lord, that they would know that a step made with faithfulness to you, Lord, is a good step, and that they would trust that you go with them wherever we go. Lord, we thank you that even when we make a left turn or a right turn, Lord, that you are faithful to bring us back into alignment. So, Lord, I just pray that you would take the fear out of that decision for that person, that you would surround them with their peace, and that you would lead them in the way that you would have them go. Lord, I pray for courage in those decisions, Lord, that even if you start to speak something that is kind of out of what they would have for their will of the will of their life, Lord, that they would have the courage to choose your way and not their own way, trusting that your timing is perfect and that your will is perfect. Finally, Lord, I want to pray for those people that you've just been working on their heart, and that there's some things that need to be cut out. There's some habits or some old things that just need to be dropped in order for you to really just, propel them into all that you have for them. Lord, I just believe that this is a room packed full of leaders of the faith. I believe that this is a room that of people that you could just use to just change this world for the better. We believe the gospel is powerful when people are willing to do your work. And so, Lord, I just pray for those people right now. And I just pray that, you would continue to convict them in a really healthy way, Lord, that they wouldn't be living in shame, but they would be living in a healthy conviction that every day they would get up motivated and willing to do your work and to drop away the things that just don't fit anymore. Lord, I just know that that also takes courage and it takes strength. And so through your Holy Spirit, Lord, would you just give that to them now afresh today? Lord, would you put those accountability measures around them for those things that need to break in their lives? Lord, would they have the courage to go out and take practical steps, Lord? And often we can over-spiritualize this, but Lord, would they have the courage to go and find somebody to walk alongside this in, Lord? Lord, we thank you for their willingness to put up their hand and say that this is something that needs to change tonight. And Lord, I just pray that you would work in their faith and meet them where they are. Lord, again, I thank you that we can pray to you, that you're a God that listens and you're a God that cares. And I pray for every person in this room, Lord, that they would know your undying love for us and that they would just have your presence go with them this week as they look to be people that are ready to move. We love you, Jesus. We praise you. We're here to worship you. We thank you for your promises. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Crossroads Church podcast. If you'd like any more information on our church, how to give, or after this message you'd like to talk to someone, you can find everything you'll need to know on our website, crossroads.co.nz. Make sure you subscribe to this channel to keep up to date with new content. But thanks again, and we'll catch you soon.